Nature Powell for the KFNX Weather Center. Brand new month, but still very warm. The same old forecast, upper 70s for the next couple of afternoons. As a matter of fact, our first full week of December, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, low 80s. Jim Allen, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 62 degrees.
Hi, folks. It's Dean Barber. If you've been listening to America's Wealth Management Show, you know about the importance of finding all of your options when it comes to taking Social Security. You also know the total amount of money at risk between the worst and the best time to begin taking Social Security could be over $100,000. To find out how much Social Security you could get, go to SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. That's SocialSecurityPhoenix.com. Then tune into America's Wealth Management Show every Saturday afternoon at 2. Join us and learn about important retirement topics.
Tune in to the Edward Woodson Show with me, your host, Edward Woodson. We'll talk business, politics, and the things that really make you mad.
Catch the Edward Woodson Show weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. only on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Plenty of medals were given to some overachieving and well-deserved athletes recently in London. When it comes to fair, honest, and reliable service, there is a deserving gold medalist right here in your own backyard, Virginia Auto Service. If you live or work downtown, get gold medal service for your car right on the corner of 7th Street in Virginia. A Bosch service center, A-plus rated with the BBB, boot to bonnet. Oh, you know what I mean, bumper to bumper. Virginia Auto Service knows how to take care of their customers. See them online at virginiaautoservice.com.
Listen to All Things Firearms, Pete Kruger's Talking Guns, at noon every Sunday, right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
And now, live from the downtown studios of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's time for The Pulse, Arizona's healthcare radio show. Your voice for healthcare issues locally, around the state, and across the nation. Here now, consultant, advocate, and provider of healthcare services in Arizona, Elizabeth Singleton.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to The Pulse. I'm your host, Elizabeth Singleton. You're listening to us live on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. Today we're going to be discussing parenting styles, how they influence bullying behaviors in our children, and how to start a anti-bullying program within your schools. Our guest today is Anna Mendez. She's an executive director for the National Association of People Against Bullying. Anna, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you very much.
Now, Anna, could you share with our audience a little bit about your program and your life story about bullying?
Of course. We started the National Association of People Against Bullying last year. It was about 2 years after we lost our son, Daniel Mendez, to bullying. Daniel died on May 1st of 2009, and he was 16 at the time. He was a sophomore, ending his sophomore year in high school. Just the greatest kid you could ever imagine. He was our firstborn, our only son. We have only one other daughter. She was 4 years younger than him at the time. And it was a real shock for us because we knew he had been bullied. His bullying had started in elementary school. It had increased in middle school. And we knew that it was continuing in high school. But we did not understand the very serious ramifications that bullying can have on a child at that time. When Daniel died, we still hadn't heard of all of the high-profile cases mm-hmm. that we're now hearing about in the media. So we weren't as prepared for what happened as I think parents are today. I think parents are much more diligent, and they're much more aware of the seriousness of bullying than we were back 3 years ago.
Now, why do some children bully?
Why do children bully?
Mm-hmm. What brings that about?
Sure. Well, what we have learned in our specific case, many of Daniel's bullies were coming from very angry households, mm-hmm. Or they had been bullied themselves. So what we have learned since our son died is that bullying is similar to any other type of abuse, whether it's physical or emotional. It causes what they call post-traumatic stress disorder, or post-traumatic stress syndrome. And there are two ways that the victims will react. They become angry, and mm-hmm. either they turn the anger inward towards themselves, and that's where you have the self-hatred, the self-loathing, and eventually and possibly suicide, or they turn it outward, and they begin getting very angry at their friends and other kids. They look for weaker ones to be angry at and to bully, or in more serious cases, it can result in school shootings like we had down here in a very local community here in San Diego mm-hmm. just a couple of years ago.
Now, when your son came home to you and he was explaining to you that he was being bullied, what were some of the steps that you took to help him?
He was very upset by it. We found him crying in his room on several occasions, and we spoke to the school administration on numerous occasions. And when we first spoke to them, Daniel came to me and said, "Mom, I want to report the bullies. There's a process in place. I'm just going to report it. Everybody has enemies in life, and you know this is my turn, and it's okay. I'm just going to handle it." He was approaching it very matter-of-factly.
Mm-hmm.
After he reported the bullying, it became much, much worse for him. And he was telling us the people that he didn't even know, kids 2 years older than him, were calling him a snitch, a loser, a rat, that he would be better off dead. He heard that we had gone to the school to complain and made us swear we would never, ever do that again. And, of course, we did, but mm-hmm. we didn't tell him that we did. The last year of his life, Daniel started seeing a psychiatrist. We took him to three different psychologists because we absolutely wanted to get him help. And we still weren't quite sure where all of the self-esteem issues were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was still a straight-A student, very engaged. He never became depressed like you hear. Some parents will say, "My child is depressed. He stayed in his room for the last 2 weeks. We can't get him to come down to dinner." That was never the situation with Daniel. And I think that was another reason why he ran under the radar.
Okay.
He was engaged. He was happy. He was communicating. But he was also seeing a professional who we told about the bullying,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't get it either. But there's one of the things that we're lobbying for is changes in legislation that require specific bullying training for therapists and psychologists, because right now it doesn't exist.
Correct.
And when they would hear about the bullying, they as well didn't take it very seriously. Okay, he's being bullied, but let's focus on how we can increase his coping skills rather than this should not be happening.
Well, how was he being bullied? What were they doing to him?
Well, it first became a verbal bullying, and they were calling him everything from gay, which is a very common word that kids use, especially in middle school,
mm-hmm.
wet back, greaser, spick. A lot of it was racial slurs because my husband is Mexican and I'm Italian. But it wasn't any one particular group. It wasn't just the white kids calling him spick and greaser and wetback. It was also the Mexican kids calling him a Mexican wannabe.
Yes.
And so it was everywhere. It was the jock bullies. It was everyone. And what happens is kids will usually identify someone who won't fight back, and it's like smelling blood in the water. And he becomes known as the kid that can get bullied. And so they do. That's how their reputation spreads. And everybody becomes involved in it.
You know, that's funny you mentioned the racial slurs, because as I was growing up, I grew up in a small town. And, you know, there was only probably three or four African American students in the whole entire high school and probably school district. And, it was funny to me that there were Mexicans and Caucasians, and if there was any other type of minority there, they would pick on us and call us every mm-hmm. type of, you know, name. And you know, it was kind of different for me because I grew up in a mixed community, a mixed family, and I don't think I took it as hard, but it does bother a lot of children to have to face that every single day.
So, mm-hmm.
So listening,
that's right.
You know, it was something at that time that we really didn't talk about because, again, you know, it was something that I saw all the time, so it wasn't anything new for me.
Right. And, well, that's true. That's true. And not all kids will react that mm-hmm. way. In addition to the verbal bullying, it escalated to physical, and they began throwing him up against lockers. The last year of his life, unbeknownst to us while he was alive, they were picking him up and physically throwing him into trash cans.
Wow.
So he would have to climb out of the trash can, or they would roll the trash can as he was in it. They would roll it up against the walls and, you know, call him trash and garbage, and you should stay in there. And this was happening repeatedly.
Mm.
And his friends, you know, people will say, well, and I did the same thing. I would call his teachers and say, I'm really afraid that he's being bullied. And the teachers would say, well, why don't you think he'd be targeted? Because there's really nothing about him. He's not in a high-risk group.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, I'm not sure why. And they would say, no, I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. But his friends would say that Daniel would climb out of the trash can, and his reaction was, I'm going to make them like me. He would
wow.
never get angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to win them over. And I believe that one of the main reasons why he was targeted was not because he was half Mexican. It was because he was peace-loving and he did not want to fight back.
Correct. Well, you're listening to The Pulse on KFNX 1100. I'm your host, Elizabeth Singleton. We are talking to Anna Mendez, and we'll be back after the break. We'll talk more on bullying.
In our busy, fast-paced world, making financial decisions is becoming a more and more complex process. That's why Sonoran Ridge Wealth Management, an office of MetLife, offers a suite of services that can provide you with simple yet sophisticated solutions. With over 30 years of experience, our suite of services ranges from life insurance to estate planning strategies, investments and retirement planning, and planning for small business owners. Taking the next step towards your financial goals has never been easier. To schedule your complimentary consultation, call 480-222-0064 or visit our website, sonoran-ridge.com. Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, MLIC, New York, New York, 10166. Securities products offered by MetLife Securities, Inc., MSI, member FINRA, SIPC, MLIC, and MSI are MetLife companies. To schedule your complimentary consultation, call Sonoran Ridge Wealth Management today at 480-222-0064. That's 480-222-0064. Summer's over, but your pool filter cartridges still need cleaning or replacement. Bring your filter cartridges to Tempe, where Filter Clean's computer-controlled cleaning system will clean and reband them in about 45 minutes. Filter Clean is the only company that rebands filters. Also, check out Filter Clean's low prices on new filters. The first 10 callers receive a 25% discount off filter cleaning service. Call Filter Clean now at 480-966-0474. That's 480-966-0474. Or visit filtercleanaz.com. Right now, we are creating a mentor network of knowledgeable people. My Mentor Advisor connects people who want knowledge with people who already have that knowledge, the time to share it, and a strong desire to pass it on. My Mentor Advisor helps two kinds of people, those who have the knowledge and experience to share, and those who want advice or mentorship from someone who has been there and done that. Right now, we are creating a mentor network of knowledgeable people. Want to share your knowledge? Visit MyMentorAdvisor.com. MyMentorAdvisor.com.
Is your aging parent getting to the point that they need some assistance and want to stay in their own home? There is a way to help without you having to be their primary caregiver and without the high cost and stigma of sending them to a senior living community. The best answer may be Care2Go Professional Home Care. We can send a trained, personable assistant to help your mom or dad with routine household things like housekeeping, cooking, transportation, or just companionship. Assistance can be given on any kind of flexible schedule you need, from 1 hour to 24 hours. Oh, and by the way, in-home assistance costs far less than assisted living and is a lot more affordable than you think. And to be honest, it beats the socks off having them move in with you or sending them to a nursing home. Call Care2Go at 480-284-8611. That's 480-284-8611. Or visit us online at mycare2go.com. That's mycare2go.com.
Hello and welcome back to The Pulse. I'm your host, Elizabeth Singleton, and you're listening to us live on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. I am speaking with our guest, Anna Mendez. She's the Executive Director for National Association of People Against Bullying. We're talking about how the influence of the behaviors of parents can actually help our children who are being bullied or who are bullied. And Anna, before we left off, we were talking about your son, but I want to move it into talking about how we can help parents who are who may have a child who is bullying others. And do you believe that parents have influenced their children in the way that they bully?
Well, absolutely. I think parents, as parents, we are the major influencer of our children's behavior. And one of the things that we teach is that, Elizabeth, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry. One of the things that we teach is that bullies themselves need help. When we categorize people as bullies and victims and targets and bystanders, we do it for simplicity's sake and for clarity's sake. But we believe that a bully can become a target, can become a bully again. Mm-hmm. And we try to explain to parents that if they get a call and they're told, your child is bullying someone, or they come home and they hear a story where their child is telling them, yeah, I harassed this kid, they shouldn't be defensive about it. They shouldn't look the other way, because this is their opportunity to help their child. A bully is 5 times more likely to have a serious criminal record when he grows up. They're 6 times more likely to be incarcerated by the age of 24. Mm-hmm. That's not a path that any of us would want to send our child down.
Correct.
And often when we do presentations, I will have people that come up to me afterwards and say, thank you so much for speaking to that, because I was a bully when I was younger, and I still have those memories of how I tormented these children, and I live with it every day. And even though they stopped and, you know, this particular person didn't go through down a criminal path, it still torments him every day of his life.
Mm-hmm. So if a parent, their child comes home and says, hey, today I beat up this kid, or today I made fun of this kid because he was, you know, we call him gay, or we call him an idiot, or he's black, or he's white. What is some of the steps that you teach parents on conflict resolution to help their child?
Right. We teach them that if they have done this, that the very best thing they can do is take ownership of their actions, acknowledge the actions, apologize to the victim, and then demonstrate by their behavior that it will never happen again, because they could potentially be saving a life. When Daniel ended his life, his friends and his bullies were in complete shock. They truly believed he was handling it. So you can never look at a child from an outward appearance and say, he's going to be just fine, we're just ribbing him and teasing him, and it's all in good fun. You can't do it that way. Mm-hmm. These children that are taking their lives, it's surprising everybody that knows them. And that's not anything anybody would want on their conscience. So we teach them that if they know they have done that, or if they see it happening, a bystander has the most power, they should step in, say, that's not cool, this is not funny. And if they're the ones participating, apologize immediately, and then demonstrate that it will never happen again through their future actions.
And why should a parent encourage their child to apologize? And should parents apologize as well for the child's behavior?
Well, you know, I believe that in a perfect world, that's what the parent would do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that in today's society, especially with the lawsuits cropping up around it, I don't mm-hmm. know any parent that would call and do that, because they would be afraid of future issues that might arise. Okay. But on the school grounds, I would, as a parent, I would definitely encourage my child to do that for my own child's emotional health and well-being.
Okay. Well, if, you know, you mentioned that lawsuits coming up and parents seeing their kids in TV, how is this affecting the bully when they see themselves on TV or on the internet, and then everyone is being so hateful towards them? What kind of is that actually helping this child who is a bully? Maybe there's something else that is the reason why they are bullying.
Well, exactly, and you're exactly right, Elizabeth. There's something else going on in that child's life that no one has yet identified. So if the parent knows that their child is bullying, not only do they encourage that child, or should they encourage that child to apologize, they need to get them help. They need to get them professional help. And if the problems are within the family, and you know, none of us live in a bubble, all households are riddled with issues. We don't know how those issues are affecting our children.
Right.
So be on the cautious side and allow them the opportunity to get professional help to vent their anger and their frustration in that environment, so a psychologist and a professional can help them not demonstrate their anger in inappropriate ways that might cost a life.
And I'm going to tell you this is something that I went through just briefly with my she was 7 at the time. I went to a parenting event, and a little boy there literally ran from my daughter and started screaming at his mom, saying, "That's the girl, that's the girl, that's the mean girl."
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I'm like, what is he talking about? And so I kind of approached the parent and said, you know, is your son okay? And he says, you know, your daughter hasn't been nice to my son. And, you know, he's talking about her a lot at home. And, you know, and so I went to the teacher and said, you know, what's going on? As I approached the school, this happened. And she said, well, she hasn't been very nice, and she's gotten in trouble a little bit for being mean to others. And ever since, that incident, and I said, what incident? And she proceeded to tell me that my daughter was kicked in the private on the playground by a couple of boys that had been bothering her. And, they took her to the office and talked to her and sent her back to the room. But ever since then, she had, you know, they have seen an increase in her behaviors towards others that weren't really nice. And so the teacher never informed me that my child was bullying others or being mean. And so I couldn't help her at that point in time. And to see that she had all these write-ups that I never even got reports on. And so I had to sit down and talk to my daughter, and it was very hard because I could never see her in that way. And it was really, you know, I had to take a step back because I was angry at first, and I wanted to scream and holler at her and ask her why she would do these things, instead of actually understanding that she experienced something. And then this was, I believed myself, because no one stood up for her or recognized the situation with her, that she began to do it to others.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
You're absolutely right. It's the environment that they have to face every day. And when some children experience that, they learn very quickly that the way to not experience that anymore is to become a bully themselves, so that people are afraid of them and stay away from them. What we're teaching our children is that it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, school has become a war zone for some. And my son Daniel actually wrote that in an email to his psychologist one day. He wrote, "School is a war zone. Kill or be killed. Make fun of or be made fun of." And he couldn't do either. So I believe that it's also the environment that we're sending them into. I know that schools can't be everything to everyone, and they have very limited resources, and they're trying to do the best with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're a business, and they're replying to what their constituents are asking for. And right now, as parents, we've been clamoring for academic excellence.
Correct.
That's what we've wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We want our children to be straight A's. We don't say, I want my child to be taught emotional intelligence. We think that that's happening at home, but the school environment has to reinforce that. Otherwise, what we've taught them at home becomes completely unwound in the school ground.
And
your child, found a way to defend herself. Your child found a way to defend herself. Mm-hmm. I'll become a bully and they'll leave me alone. And it's very common.
Well, you know, and when I was growing up, they had hall monitors. And those hall monitors would support, you know, different actions happening within the halls and help kids get to their classes. And, you know, I've talked to my son, and in his high school, there's no hall monitors or anyone that does that. It, you know, talking to the schools, they may say, I don't have the funding, but is there something a parent can do to become a hall monitor or, bring these programs into, a school for anti-bullying?
Just
to focus on, I know the school says there's no resources for it, but this is becoming a huge problem. And I guess, is it really becoming a huge problem? Because a lot of people my age and my mother's age is saying that this has always been around. This is nothing new. Children need to learn how to be strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, there's a point to that. It has been around forever. But number one, it doesn't make it right. Mm-hmm. We've had discrimination. We've had racial discrimination forever, but we have laws that protect against that. Mm-hmm. Just because it's been around forever doesn't mean that a child has to go through this type of harassment. What we ask for is that a child, and this is what we're lobbying for, that a child has the same protection against harassment on the school grounds that an adult enjoys today in the workplace.
And I'm going to let you finish when we come back. You're listening to The Pulse on KFNX 1100. I'm your host, Elizabeth Singleton. We'll be back after the break.
The only home of the Mike Huckabee Show is Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, middays 1 to 3.
NBC News Radio, I'm Mike Vaccara at the White House. A shooting at Arrowhead Stadium has resulted in one death at the team facility and one death elsewhere. The Kansas City Chiefs confirmed that an incident happened at the stadium. Police say the shooter was a man in his late 20s. Officials are on the scene today after a freight train derailment on a New Jersey bridge late yesterday. New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection spokesman Larry Hynia.
The response has been, you know, I think very appropriate and very thorough. We're going to continue to monitor the situation as this go into the next phases of the product recovery and the rail car removal.
Hundreds of people were evacuated. Four tanker cars tumbled partway into a creek and spewed hazardous gas into the air. A second person has died after a bus crash at Miami's airport. Three others were taken to a hospital in critical condition. Airport officials say the bus hit an overpass going into the airport's arrivals section this morning. This is NBC News Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Brand new month, but still very warm. The same old forecast, upper 70s for the next couple of afternoons. As a matter of fact, our first full week of December, Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, low 80s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 64 degrees.
Singleton's Real Health Outpatient and Wellness Centers provide housing resources to those in need. We also offer treatment services in the areas of mental health, physical well-being, counseling, advocacy, education, and empowerment for independence. We work with other care providers and businesses to provide total care for the mind and body. Call 602-626-8150. Singleton's Real Health Outpatient and Wellness Centers, devoted to empowering our community. To see if we can be of help to you, call 602-626-8150.
The Lars Larson Show is on the air.
If you were president of the United States and your military people came to you and said, we have found bin Laden, we can go and get him now, how many nanoseconds would it take the average American to say, go, bring him back dead or alive, doesn't matter to me. If you can get it done, get it done. The president took 16 hours to make that decision.
Tune in to the Lars Larson Show, late nights on KFNX.
There's nothing more desirable and rare than a piece of vintage jewelry.
I couldn't agree more.
And for the finest collection and lowest prices in estate jewelry, shop London Gold.
Classic watches with diamond bezels, elegant designs in precious stones, diamond rings, bracelets, earrings.
Ageless designs from the world's iconic designers. Names you know.
purchased from estates, their luster restored, and placed on sale at remarkable prices. London Gold is also the name you know and depend upon for the finest in today's jewelry. If you're looking for an engagement ring, then London Gold is your first stop. We sell diamonds around the world, and when you buy from us, not only will you get the diamond she'll love, but you'll pay the very same direct diamond dealer price. So for the latest in today's jewelry
or estate jewelry,
shop London Gold with three valley locations, Arrowhead, Chandler, Scottsdale,
or online at LondonGold.com.
London Gold, it's the best.
The Out of Bounds Golf Show, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Get golf tips, learn to network on the golf course, and how to use golf to enjoy success in your career. The Out of Bounds Golf Show, Thursday at 9 p.m.
Who can you turn to about legal problems? Thursday at 3 p.m., Phoenix attorney Kevin Fallon McCarthy will answer your questions about debt, credit, real estate, and other legal issues. Candid conversation, wise counsel. Thursday at 3 p.m.
Hello, and welcome back to The Pulse. I'm your host, Elizabeth Singleton, and you're listening to us on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. My guest today is Anna Mendez, and the Executive Director for National Association of People Against Bullying. And we've been talking about how as parents of bullies, we could be helpful to them. But we want to also talk about how to start an anti-bullying program within our schools. And that's one of the programs that Anna's association does. And Anna, if I was a parent or a school teacher or administrator, how would I go about starting an anti-bullying program in my school, and how important is this program?
Sure. Well, and studies show that anti-bullying clubs, student-led anti-bullying clubs, reduce bullying by over 50%. And I'm talking about very specific anti-bullying clubs. I'm not talking about, character counts and some of these other wonderful clubs that are out there, but it needs to be specific to bullying. Just the fact that the school has an anti-bullying program in place that the kids are leading, mm-hmm. Raises the level of awareness to it in such a way that it's monumental in the benefits that it has. It's the peer-to-peer influence that's so important. It's actually the reverse of negative peer-to-peer pressure. So we believe, my daughter will tell you, that it starts with the kids, because the way that she explains it, the adults won't be able to handle the problem. The kids need to do it for themselves. After Daniel died, his friends began an anti-bullying club at San Clemente High School called Cool to Be Kind. And one of the things that National Association of People Against Bullying does is help schools everywhere, all across the country. We're actually talking to a school in Spain and one in Italy, start their own anti-bullying clubs. It's on our website. For any of your viewers, they can go to napab.org, napab.org, for more information. And we will be there for them. They need a constitution. They need a club charter. We help them write that. They identify student leaders. We help them do that, and we also help them with any activities, fundraising activities, and any activities that will raise awareness. We also help them establish safe rooms throughout the campus. So it's a room that the kids can go to if they just don't want to hear it anymore. They've been being bullied or they're being harassed or they just don't want to hear it out there anymore. They go into the safe room, and the Cool to Be Kind leaders take turns just sitting in there eating lunch with the kids. And just the fact that they have the safe rooms on campus, when the kids walk by seeing a room that has a safe room sign on it, worked wonders in promoting a very positive culture on the campus.
Now, just the fact with bullying, those who are being bullied, but what about the programs that will help the bully themselves? Because if someone says, "Hey, you're a bully, you're a bad person, you know, we don't like you," mm-hmm. you know, where is that person supposed to turn to? Would they have the same obligations to be able to become a part of this program?
Yes, and we actually will offer We have partners throughout the country. So depending upon the location, we have free martial arts, free therapy, and we also have a free program that is aimed at helping bullies change the perception of themselves, because we don't want, once a child is bullied, we don't want them to start recognizing themselves, I'm a bully and I have a problem and I have to live with this for the rest of my life. We teach them how to adjust their self-image so they see themselves not as a bully but as a kind person. And we can help them, get them together with the providers of those programs.
Now, it's hard for parents. I did an article in one of our local newspapers here, and there was a parent that asked me, you know, how do I adjust, you know, talk to my child who's bullying when, you know, they turn on the TV, they go on the internet, and bullying still is popular on some of these shows that are out there. It's funny to make fun of people. And, you know, we're fighting this battle and we're hoping our schools would, help, but we also have a lot of programs that are geared to children to disrespect their children, to disrespect their parents, to disrespect other kids, and this is supposed to be fun.
Well, and that's exactly what the idea was behind the name Cool to Be Kind, because right now the kids will tell you, and as Daniel said in some of his letters to his psychologist, the kids who are bullying are the popular kids, and the targets are the kids that aren't popular, and that's the dynamic that we're all trying very hard to change, is that it's not cool to be a bully. Being a bully is a jerk, is being a jerk. It's cool to be kind.
And that the role... Go ahead.
Yeah, and we're trying to inspire the positive role models that are popular. And, you know, one of the things, Elizabeth, I want to point out is that the profile of the nerdy victim with the thick glasses or, you know, whatever the case may be, we can't profile the victims. My son was a football player. He had a black belt in Taekwondo. He was studying karate. He was, you looked at him and you did not see a bullied victim. Some other parents that have lost their child through bullying look at our son's pictures and say, he's the kid I would have thought would have been the most popular.
Yeah.
So we can't profile the kids.
And you do see that a lot. You know, my son is, and I'm very proud of my children. He is a straight A student. He's an honor student. He plays football. He hasn't experienced this exactly in school, but just in other environments because he is African American. He's experienced some of those racial comments towards him. You know, but he was in a drama class and the teacher asked him, you know, what does a bully look like? Or not a bully, but what does a nerd look like and dress up? And, and you know, everyone had glasses and pulled their pants up and you know, tightened their belts. And he pointed to himself and says, and he just went from top to bottom. And he says, that's me. And she says, why? And he shows her his report card. And she says, oh, so it's in, and she goes, well, you just taught me something new, you know, that we are all different. And it's just not one. One way to look at it. If people wanted to get in touch with your program and they wanted to start an anti-bullying program, I don't want to cut us off short, how will they get in touch with you and how can you help them?
Okay, right on our website, it's www.napab, N-A-P-A-B, it stands for National Association of People Against Bullying, .org, because we are a nonprofit foundation. There are links, start an anti-bullying club or contact us. The link will email me directly, and I get in touch. It's either a parent or a teacher. Sometimes it's a child that contacts us and says, I want to start an anti-bullying club. And we take it from there. We hold their hand all the way through.
Now, is there any links or websites that you can also give for children to call to report bullying or a parent to call to ask, hey, my child is bullying and I don't know what to do and I don't want to be stereotyped. I'm coming to you for help.
Sure. We also get involved directly in bullying situations. We have called schools. We have met with school district staff, superintendents. We've written letters on the children's behalf, and we try to mediate on behalf of the bullied child.
Mm-hmm.
So we do become directly involved in the situation as well. Our organization is not just about education and starting the anti-bullying club. So, you know, in terms of how to get help when they're, you know, in terms of tip lines,
mm-hmm.
we're really encouraging the individual schools to implement those.
Okay.
But right now, the piece that's missing, even when the school does implement some sort of a tip line or a box where people can put something in there to complain, it doesn't come full circle.
Yes.
Once the complaints are made, you really don't know what the school is doing, and there's no requirement on the part of the school to report how many complaints they have had or even what they've done to resolve the issues. And that's one of the things that a student-led anti-bullying club will do. The Cool to Be Kind Club
mm-hmm.
does ask the kids, tell us about the bullying complaints. They can then keep track of them, and they hold the school accountable. What have you done in terms of this complaint?
And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that our audience understand that, you know, a child that is a bully, they're having difficulties themselves. They may be having difficulties as themselves. So a lot of parents and a lot of students are afraid to come forward or afraid to get help because they feel they're going to be attacked. And, you know, your program sounds like that's not the case here, that we're trying to protect each child, the bully and the bullier, but to get help, they have to come forward. They have to face this issue. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly, Elizabeth, because when those complaints are made, the school is helping no one.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helping when they don't follow up. They're not helping the target, and they're not helping the bully. Wouldn't it have been nice if the school had called you and said, you know, your child was reported as bullying someone? You would have been much more proactive rather than finding out about it. Exactly, and that did not help your child at all.
No, it didn't help them, and I, you know, it's something that I'm still working with. Thank God she is not doing that anymore, and that she's very open with me at school. I talk to her constantly. It's very important to sit down at dinner and listen to your children.
Mm-hmm.
What they say, it's very important to understand that this is their feelings and what they're going through, so take it seriously. Thank you, Anna, for joining us today on The Pulse. You are a wonderful guest. Thank you for the program that you're providing. Stay tuned. We'll be back with a great program, that an organization here in the Valley that is helping children face tolerance.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8020. PremierBarter.com.
My clients have personally called to thank me because they haven't lost any money in their annuities. In fact, many are earning nice returns right now. Hi, this is Steve Lance, author of Annuities, a 21st Century Pension Plan. If you're tired of stock market losses in your 401k or your investment accounts, my book is a roadmap on how to immediately stop the losses and quickly recover so you can enjoy the retirement you've planned for. You deserve some good news, so call me at 800-445-2516, 800-445-2516, or go to AskMrAnnuity.com and get your roadmap to retirement.
Hi, folks. I want to introduce you to McCarthy Law. McCarthy Law is a law firm dedicated to negotiating for large reductions in their clients' debt without the need for bankruptcy. If you have too much credit card debt, home equity lines of credit, or even medical bills, McCarthy Law might be able to help. For a free consultation to see if McCarthy Law can help you, call 602-456-8900. Even if you make good money, you may still have the opportunity to reduce what you owe. Call 602-456-8900 to talk to an expert at McCarthy Law. 602-456-8900.
Good morning again, and welcome back to The Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Singleton, your host, and you're listening to us on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. You also can visit our website if you have any questions, topics that you would like for us to discuss. If you're a program out there that is doing great work in the community for children, our mental health population, please give us a call at 602-760-7417. Or visit our website at thepulseaz.com. We were discussing bullying prior to, and I have another program that helps children with the arts face bullying and tolerance. And our guest is Jenny Foreman Weinstein. She's an artist, sculptor, and founder of Face Tolerance, an anti-bullying project. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you.
And I met Jenny at a MASS luncheon, and MASS stands for Mothers Awareness on School-Aged Children, and they did a wonderful book or a magazine that they put out on bullying. And if you want to read that book or get that magazine, you can get it at www.massmatters.org, and I will have that website up on the Pulse's website and also on our Facebook. Jenny, thank you for joining me today. And I did go over your program, and I was very interested because I have always been in the arts. I used to be a painter, and I'm going to get really back involved with that because that's how I release my stress and how I speak to others. But tell me about your program and what your program is about.
Well, being the founder of the Face Tolerance Project is truly an honor and a privilege. In 2006, I was given a task by the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts to come up with a way to teach children, middle school-age children, tolerance three-dimensionally. And this is how Face Tolerance was born. It was born out of my own personal life experiences and my artistic abilities as an artist and sculptress. The very first school to receive Face Tolerance was Greenway Middle School here in Phoenix, Arizona. And the children who received it tested high in spatial thinking. And so that is why Greenway was the flagship program to test Face Tolerance. I can only tell you that what I taught and what I saw evolve over the 10 direct teaching hours, it was beautiful, incredible, heartfelt, and life-changing. Because when I go into the school, when I went into the school, I gave these children life skills through fine art that they could then carry with them from the classroom onto the playground, into the home, and for the rest of their lives.
And how did you do that?
Well, we begin with a big bowl of water with seashells and a blue bottom. And the kids gather around. I drop a little drop of water into the dish. I say, guys, what is this? Do you guys know what this is? And, of course, the hands all go up. Miss Jenny, oh, it's the ripple effect. We learned it in science. I said, that's right. I said, in our classroom, through our work here today, tolerance is going to begin to spread throughout the globe through our work together. Then I discuss with them famous quotes and sayings from famous writers and poets from all over the world, from Mahatma Gandhi to Maya Angelou to Martin Luther King to First Lady Roosevelt, you know. Nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. So we discussed that. Big letters, Face Tolerance letters in wood go up through the classroom. We have open forums of discussion. Words that begin with the letter T as they relate to tolerance, like trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Words that begin with the letter O. And so what happens is there becomes an instant dialogue of discussion, an open forum through brainstorming, mm-hmm. this brainstorming session. Then the children are given an opportunity. I put them in a big circle and I invite them to go to the peer that they feel they know the least. Maybe somebody they've never said good morning to.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody they don't know their first name. Somebody they had an issue with on the playground. And, of course, they all sit there with their arms and their legs crossed Indian style and nobody gets up and moves. And so I start laughing just mm-hmm. like we are. And I say, guys, I remember when I was in 6th and 7th grade, I used to sit next to my best friends. So immediately, who's ever now sitting directly across from each other in that circle,
mm-hmm.
now are paired up. It was cute. One time I taught at New Vistas Academy in Chandler, and I walked in, and on one side of the room were all the girls, and on one side of the room were all the boys. And I go, this is very yin yang. I'm like, I know I'm going to pair these guys up. So anyways, and so let's say you and I are now partners, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
To touch somebody's face is a very personal thing.
It's very personal.
And it requires trust. And so we're paired up, and now I'm going to have a dialogue with you and you with me. We're going to have to decide who's going to be the artist mm-hmm. and who's going to be the sculptor first. And the magic begins. I now have to cast your face in plaster, of which I do a demo in the class so that I teach the kids how to do it.
Okay.
And then the next day, you now cast my face. But I give you back your mask, and you give me back mine. And then we take junk from junk drawers, which we call in the art world found objects.
Correct.
And we take the junk and turn them into treasure, because everything that goes on the child's mask of tolerance is for a reason,
mm-hmm.
not because it's cute or pretty. The kids have to get up. There's a journaling process that goes on. Pointing at questions that are posed to them along with their homework every night, where they have to think about, you know, what would you do if you saw somebody on the street who was homeless? How would you feel? What would you think? How could you help make that person's life better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are just many different questions. There's a speaking part where they have to get up at the end and say, hi, my name is Elizabeth and this is my mask. And why the objects are on it as they relate to tolerance, which then culminate in big art exhibitions throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
The Children's Museum of Phoenix hosted the very first exhibition. There have been exhibitions at SRP's Historic Gallery.
And how do you hold your exhibits? What is the audience learning, and how does this help children with tolerance and anti-bullying? And
the way it helps the children is because they are forced to stop and think about how would you like to be treated and how should you treat others. Like I say, even in the Ten Commandments, you know, you have to value your neighbor and treat them as you would like to be treated yourself.
Exactly.
And so children know this from the time they're very little, kindergarten, you know. And because tolerance is in it, bullying is in the forefront of everybody's minds today. And children all over the globe are really being victimized by their peers. It is so mandatory, in my opinion, that face tolerance be in every public school, private school, religious school throughout the country. And, of course, that takes funding and money
mm-hmm.
because art supplies aren't free, right?
Correct.
Now, I brought this one little short letter written by a student of mine from 2007, and it's from Greenway Middle School. It's very short but very poignant. Her name's Anna Hernandez. The first thought that came to my mind when Miss Jenny said that we all had to treat each other with respect and not make fun of one another was, this woman is crazy, with all my respect. I am not trying to be rude, but I have known some of these kids since kindergarten, and I knew that just was not going to happen. I know now that it's possible. I have learned to have tolerance, and also that everything is possible if you set your heart to it. And Mrs. Jenny has a huge heart because it was big enough to change every single student in this class. I found out the moment she was done with us. Right then, I knew she had finished her masterpiece. Us.
Wow.
We were her masterpiece, her purpose, and she was done. I will never forget what Mrs. Jenny did for us. She made us believe in ourselves, trust others, and to never give up. I just love that no matter how much the kids talked and sometimes even disrespected her, she didn't give up. Now that she talks, I listen with all my respect. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I want to thank Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts and Mrs. Jenny for this opportunity.
Wow. If there's a school or organization or just a family member that would like to get a hold of you, what is your website information and your contact number?
Okay. My direct line is 602-705-4525, and it's www.originalsoriginalsbyjennifer.com.
Well, we would like to thank Jenny for coming on the show today, and I would like to thank Anna and her story that she told us and how we can help our children who are bullied and are bulliers. Take the time out today to talk to your children, as I always say. Take the time out to be blessed today. Take the time out to relax. Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate everything you do for us. Listen to The Pulse next week. We'll be back. Thank you.
Phoenix housing market is finally hot again, and if you're under contract to buy a house and you're afraid your current lender cannot close on time, you need to give us a call today. We're Alliance Financial Resources, and we're a local mortgage bank, and we've got great rates, we've got great communication, and we've got the speed you need to close on time. Give us a call for your approval today, 602-772-3154. Again, 602-772-3154. We're an equal housing lender.
On Q Financial, mortgages simplified. Getting a mortgage is a complicated process. We make it simple. Call Margot Rockus and Jeff Wild at 480-444-7123 for all your mortgage needs. On Q Financial is a licensed Arizona mortgage banker, MB number 0906866. Margot Rockus, originator number 258961. Jeff Wild, originator number 257881. Equal housing lender, On Q Financial. We make it simple. 480-444-7123.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of Premier Radio Station.